Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. We're going to talk a little bit about success. Success in business, but also success in life. Same sets of skills, same types of things apply. And we have a guest who is near and dear to my heart. I've known Damian Mason for over 20 years. He's a speaker, a podcaster, a writer. He studied at Second City. He gives motivational speeches. He knows a lot about a lot of things. And he's written a book called Do Business Better, which is a great book. I just read it. And it applies to business, but again, it applies to life in general. Welcome to the show, Damian. How are you?
Hey, Karen. Thanks so much for having me on.
So glad to be talking to you. Let's talk just generally about definitions, because sometimes definitions are important in that they kind of structure how you act in life. So success, how do you define success?
Yeah, so one thing that we all must do as we get older, and you and I are not, we're not in our 20s anymore, we got to look at how we do what we do and say, all right, when I was 20, I thought success looked like this. When I was 30, I thought it looked like this. It's fine to have an evolving view of success. It's important to never, though, let go of a vision of success for you, because I think that some people, and I talk about this in my book, they just give up and they say, no, I'm really happy. This isn't bad. Well, isn't bad doesn't mean good. And so I always say, yeah, it's normal to evolve and have a different picture of success, but you got to always maintain a picture of success. For me, it's about wealth, fulfillment, location. It's about life by choice more and more as I get older, being able to turn down things that I don't want to do.
Yeah, and I think as we get older, we just have such a lower tolerance for doing things that are outside, not our comfort zone, because I still think it's a good idea to do things outside comfort zone, but things you just don't want to do. And, you know, I guess, you know, thinking about your book, when I was reading, I'm thinking about my life, you know, you think, oh, I want to be in a big law firm, and I want to be a partner, and that's what you're told is supposed to be good. And then when you get there, you realize that definition of success is not for everybody. In fact, it's not for very many people. And I'm sure a lot of people have reached a certain age where they have really redefined what their goals and what their success levels need to be.
Yeah, you look at your listeners right now, they're sitting there saying, oh, you know, things are pretty good. And I say, all right, that's fine. Don't become complacent and actually then look at and say, all right, when I was 20, I thought this. When I was 25, I thought that. When I was 35, it's normal to have a continual evolution of what you want your life to look like. There's a lot of people that I think give up and decide, oh, well, it's okay, and they accept complacency. You know, when I was 21 years old, I thought success looked like a Mustang 5.0 with a convertible with a personalized license plate, and now I could have a bunch of those convertible Mustangs sit in my garage, and that's not important to me. Now it's more about time and choice. And I think that everybody, you know, whether they have their own business, Karen, or whether they are working for some, large organization, whatever they might do, everybody can identify with what I want my life to look like. And really, that's what success is. What do you want your life to look at? And more, doing things of your own volition, of your own choice.
Now, Damian, let's talk a little bit about successful people and some of the traits. And you really do a good job at bullet pointing some of these things. And we have to be a little, we have to fill in the blanks here. You have done some acting. You've done some interesting comedy work, stand up, and writing. And you were in a movie, Space Travesty, and you talk about it in your book. You had a small part, and you talk about how you received advice from a famous actor. Can you tell our listeners that story? Because I think it's very instructive.
Sure. Well, actually, maybe we should start at the beginning. You and I know each other because years ago when I was a political comedian,
yes,
you hired me.
I did.
For an appearance, which I'm very excited, and that's why we've had such a great relationship. Years ago, you hired me to do an event in Chicago for an event you were holding, and I came and did my political comedy act. So to bring your listeners up to speed, my background is I'm a farm boy from Indiana that was a corporate salesperson, and I quit my job in 1994. I was working for, in fact, Elk Grove Village, Illinois-based business called Cooper Lighting, part of Cooper Industries. I quit my sales job with Cooper Lighting to become a political comedian. And my whole thing was I wanted to be rewarded for my creativity, and I wanted to be able to do my own business. You know, I wanted to run my own thing as a creative soul and also rewarded for my own work ethic. So after 5 years of hashing it out and running through, you go from open mic night to paid gigs to corporate events to doing events for people like Karen Conti. Then the phone rang and they said, we've got a movie role for you alongside Leslie Nielsen. We want you to play the part of Bill Clinton, because my political comedy act was unique in that I dressed up as Bill Clinton and delivered a political comedy show in the persona of Bill Clinton.
And you looked so it was, just like him, and you have to just do a little bit right this very minute to see.
Now, Karen, I knew you were going to call me about this. Now, I'll tell you something. I'm kind of getting past my prime. I was going to tell you, I was down there at the Lincoln. I was down there at the President Clinton Library in Little Rock, and I got to tell you, the funniest thing is thieves broke in and stole our book. Okay, so the thing about being Bill Clinton is that I could talk just like Bill Clinton because I had years and years of not inhaling, just like Bill Clinton. And as I point out, in 1994, just like Bill Clinton, I was dating a 25-year-old woman, too. Okay, so my act was...
Thank you for that interlude.
Yeah, thank you, yes. My act was a political comedy act, and you know, because I remember so distinctly when you became friends with me, you told me about your father had some showbiz chops and had been in showbiz, and you said, man, I've always had an affinity for people that have been able to put themselves out there and be in show business. So my act was a political comedy show where I dressed up as Bill Clinton and delivered a political comedy. I quickly learned that clubs were not for me. It was corporate events because they tend to be smarter. You get paid better. They're more news savvy, and you can do a joke that goes left, a joke that goes right, and you can wheel in that crowd. So anyway, there it was. It's 1999. I've been doing this for 5 years. The phone rang, and it was a movie production shooting a movie called 2001, A Space Travesty, starring Leslie Nielsen. And they had me. I was the sixth character, and they always rank it by, okay, your level of fame, your number of minutes in the movie. And I played the part of Bill Clinton alongside Leslie Nielsen. In my book, Do Business Better, I point out, as you alluded to, Karen, that I really never thought myself as a actor. I never thought, okay, Damien is a movie actor. But that day, that moment, it dawns on you, you're being paid significant amounts of money. You are an actor today. This is your job. Do it well.
And you asked Leslie Nielsen, or Leslie Nielsen gave you some advice?
He came up to me after about the third day of me being on set with Leslie Nielsen. He said, Damien, do you want to be successful as an actor? And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, I've got two words of advice for you. Get better. and it wasn't that I was bad at it necessarily. It's just that he very plainly said, this is what you're doing today. Get better at it. And I decided, you know what? By golly, this is my job today. I'm going to study him, even though I'm a comedian, even though my normal bread and butter is doing corporate and private events where I get up as a surprise guest and make an audience laugh. Today, my job is to be an actor. Today, my job is to make this movie the best I can make it. And so I studied. And the good thing about being on a movie set, Karen, is there are so many hours of dead time. You sit there, and all the other kids are, you know, the other actors are monkeying around, talking to one another, going over, you know, drinking pop. And I said, wait, I'm going to use this time to get better, just like Leslie Nielsen told me to. And I studied their craft, and I watched, and I pulled them aside and said, how do I do this? How do I do that? And it made me a lot stronger.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some real practical bullet points for being successful. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show. I'm here with Damien Mason. We'll be back in a minute.
Damien.
We're here with Damien Mason, and we're talking about... Oh, we're talking about life. We're talking about success and his book, Do Business Better. Let's talk, Damien, about the four traits of entrepreneurial success. And I think that we can extrapolate that to mean success in almost any work you're doing. Can you bullet point those pretty quickly and tell our listeners what they mean?
Yeah, so I was a guest at an entrepreneur class, and whether your listener is an entrepreneur, a retired person, or works in a large organization, everybody can relate to this. They, meaning the average person that says, okay, what's it going to take to succeed? They think it's about business plans, it's about mission statements, and it's about some sort of big overlaying extensive amount of planning, and really it comes down to traits. If you want to be successful, you have risk tolerance. You understand that the world's a risky place and you can navigate it, and you mitigate your own risk by being more talented or by being more hardworking and by being forward-looking. You second trait of success is drive. You know, it's not something you're born with. There's no such thing as an ambition gene. You want to be successful, you out and hustle, and you know this. Obviously, you've run your own business, Karen, for a long, long time. Third trait of success is resilience. The world knocks you down. We know that it's not easy to go out there every day and put yourself on the line, and there's going to be people that chip at you. There's going to be competition. There's going to be up days, bad quarters. You've got to be able to bounce back. As I always say, when you had a high school coach, they said the hardest person to beat is the person that refuses to be beaten. That is true. Fourth trait of success is vision. Where are you going, and what are you going to have to look past? Most people get hung up on some sort of minor obstacle that's in front of them and can't get beyond that. No. Where are you going? That's your vision.
You know, a couple of things interest me about that section in your book, and we're talking about drive, and kind of you're talking about discipline. Basically, driven people do things they don't want to do, and excuse me. And, you know, I always laugh because, as you probably know, I know you're very much of a fitness person. I am as well. And people say, oh, gosh, you really enjoy that workout. Wow, you're really happy going to work out. You know what? I hate it every day. I hate to work out. I like the results. I like how I feel. I know it's the right thing. I know it's, but I force myself to do it because I guess I'm disciplined. But there's nothing happy about being disciplined. It's doing things you don't want to do, right?
Yeah, so you've run your own law firm. You've been your own business person. You have your own radio show. You know that it's about 20% talent and 80% actually making it happen. It's about going out every day and executing the fundamentals that make it come together. It's about doing. It's not about some like lightning strike. There's a lot of people sitting around saying, man, if I just had the right idea, if I just had this lucky break. You know, usually it's about just doing. I'm not a great joke writer. I'm not the most talented person when it comes to comedic delivery, and I started out in comedy. What dawned on me was there's a lot of people that are more comedically talented than me back 25 years ago when I started out, and you know what, Karen? They don't have the discipline to work every day at perfecting and putting on a presentation and then driving it like a business.
And let's talk about resilience, because I think that's one of the things that you said was hardest to develop. And again, resilience, the idea that you can bounce back from bad things that happen to you. I think my opinion, Damien, is that young people are having difficulty with that trait, because I think a lot of parents, as we all know, are enabling their children and kind of being there as a safety net at all points in their lives. And then when they go to college or they go out on their own, they've never failed. They've never been told they did something wrong, and so they really they're not resilient. You give three quick examples of that. Yeah, go ahead. I was going to talk about the Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, and Abraham Lincoln. I love those three examples.
Go ahead. I like the fact that you're using those examples. They're good examples.
Yeah, go ahead and tell our listeners the examples and how that explains how important resilience is.
Okay, to me, resilience is the most important trait when it comes to being successful in any endeavor in your life and of your entire life. It's going to be about your bounce back factor. Resilience, you can call it tenaciousness, you can call it your bounce back factor, whatever it is. It's really about the fact that success is not easy. I wanted to run my own business. I wanted to come being the youngest of nine kids from a fairly modest background on a farm in Indiana. I wanted to do my own thing, create my own destiny, and have my own business. And there are a lot of forces that go against that. You know, you don't have the right education. You don't have the right money. You don't have the right background. And so while you get knocked down, it makes the strong stronger. And unfortunately, there is a situation in the United States of America. We are such a well-off country, and we have well-intentioned parents. And they say things like, and you've heard this, I don't want my kid to have to do what I had to do.
Yep.
And that actually does them no favors.
No, that's absolutely right. And tell the listeners just briefly about the Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Abraham Lincoln examples.
So Michael Jordan, as we maybe know, and you're obviously there in WGN, and you got all those wonderful Chicago listeners, and they know about Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan did get cut from a basketball team. Michael Jordan, arguably the best basketball player of all time, had a lot of setbacks, believe it or not. He was not always going to be the varsity, the stud, the number 23 that they're going to give the ball to. He earned that because he had setbacks. Tom Brady was a 12th round draft pick. He didn't even start for his college football team until his senior year. And, of course, Abraham Lincoln, another great Illinois example, since we're talking to the friends of WGN. Abraham Lincoln had failure after failure after failure. If Abraham Lincoln had not persevered and had the resilience, what would the United States have become? He preserved the Union and kept it together during the arguably the worst, darkest days of the United States of America. So those three examples, to me, are like what we can all dig down to and say, what am I not doing? What am I not, where am I not being tough enough? Because seriously, we all can get knocked around and we can say, okay, this isn't for me. Well, that's a bunch of crap. What it comes down to is you've got to then suit up and go out and play again. And also you can learn resilience. You can always remember your setbacks, and it makes you stronger.
It really does. There's no question about it. Successful people don't make excuses. That's one of your mantras in the book. And, you know, you give an example that I found interesting. There was a Wall Street Journal article that you referenced that said 82% of renters in a building say fitness center is really important. 82% said that. And 55% said, I wouldn't even rent in a building without one, yet 42% rarely use the fitness center. So people.
Yeah, and that's self-reporting. And that's self-reporting, Karen, which is the funny part. If the reality was, if you'd actually did a time and activity study, it would probably be a far less amount that actually do use it. So people say a lot of things. They say, I'm going to do this. This is very important to me. But remember, actions speak louder than words. People always put their money and their time into what really matters to them. You can say, I care about being with my family. And if you're not spending time with your family, you're not putting effort into it, what are you really saying? And the same thing with fitness, same thing with your work achievement. You know, you still keep up with everything with your business, and you probably are still reading articles and you're looking at things and saying, this is what I'm going to do. But there are folks that say, oh, I'm doing all those things, and I've got a new theory on that, and I call it the did versus do. You don't go to the gym if you went to the gym in January. You don't keep up with your business if you actually read a publication and did some continual learning back in 2014. You did those things. Are you doing those things? No, you once did them.
And, you know, and going back to this idea of excuses, when I read it, I realized, you know, sometimes I thought about some recent things that happened to me and my firm and things that are going on. And I remember saying some things that sounded like I was making an excuse. And I really needed to go back and think about it and say, no, I'm not going to make that excuse. I'm going to say I am responsible for that in whatever way. Were there contributing factors outside of my control? Yes, but I can handle it differently and I can handle it better. And you're right in the book. Excuses are really an easy way for people to just walk away from things that they do have a little bit of control over.
I make the point in Do Business Better, Karen, about what I call the myth of inadequate resources. It's my favorite thing. My wife is actually in the other room right now. She's watching HGTV, and one of my favorite examples is everybody on HGTV in that show House Hunters, they walk into a house, and they say, oh, goodness, we should buy this house. We could entertain our friends. We don't entertain where we are now because we don't have the right space, to which I would say, no, that's not the real reason. It's because you're too lazy and because you're not entertaining. Don't blame the fact that you don't have a food table in your basement. You know, we all can make up excuses and say we don't have this or we don't have that. It comes down to this thing of a myth of inadequate resources when we all do actually probably have what we need. It's just that we lack the gumption and the push to make it happen.
Damian Mason, we're going to have to break off here, but thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell our listeners where they can get your book, Do Business Better, and where they can contact you?
Thank you, Karen. It's DamianMason.com, D-A-M-I-A-N, DamianMason.com. You can find all my social media. I'd love for your listeners to keep up with me. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I would love for and you keep up with me, and I really appreciate that because we have such a long history from, 25 years now, you and I.
Yeah, I think that's right. All
so,
right.
Yes, and they can find a link to Do Business Better there. So thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care.